Hello, everyone. This is Dan Sheridan with Cross and Throne Ministries. Thank you for joining me again today. This is number 5 of our series entitled Sheridan on Romans. And we hope you've been following along and studying these scriptures with us. And we're going to dive right into this. And by the way, if you miss a program or you want to go back and study, just go to our website at crossandthrone.com and listen again and go through these recordings and make notes and comments and be students of the Word of God. Well, we're in Romans chapter 1, and we made some comments on verse 3 to 4. Paul had given us in his introduction that the Lord, he was separated into the gospel of God, that is God's good news. It was concerning his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. We saw the two aspects of Jesus Christ our Lord. First of all, we saw that he was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, referring to his earthly life. And that connects us with all that went before, the prophets and the Holy Scriptures, the Old Testament. And we also saw that if he were still the seed of David according to the flesh, if he were still walking around on earth today, you and I would have no claim on him because that was his title for Israel. But the good news in verse 4, he's declared to be the Son of God with power, in other words, ability. He has ability, inherent power, according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. Resurrection shows us, it makes it, the resurrection from the dead declares to us that the Lord Jesus is the Son of God with power, in accord with the Spirit of holiness. And we saw that that term Spirit of holiness is in reference to the fact that he now, in resurrection power, is a quickening spirit. Or you might say life-giving if you want, but a quickening spirit. And by the way, the Lord Jesus on earth, remember he said this, a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as ye see me have. Blood is the power of this earthly life, the life after the flesh. But resurrection, the resurrection body has no blood. The Lord Jesus didn't. Spirit is the power of the resurrection body. He wasn't saying he was a spirit. He was dominated. The power of that new resurrection life is spirit. And that's a body without blood. And this may be technical in details, and I don't want to get too off base here, but pay attention to the phraseology of Scripture. The Lord Jesus, risen from the dead, he shed his blood on the cross, and it was gone. And in resurrection, and you and I in resurrection, see, the problem we have today is our blood is no good. And we inherited this from the fall of Adam. And the Bible says the life of all flesh is the blood thereof. And so is the life of this life, the life that we now live is empowered by the blood that we have, and that's why we die, because, and if you want to put it bluntly, we have blood poisoning, which we inherited from our first father, Abraham. But in resurrection, we will not be empowered by this blood that we have now. We'll be empowered by spirit. And this was the power of the in the Lord Jesus. He's the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. And then it says, verse 5, by whom, well, the Son of God with power, by whom we have received grace and apostleship. Now, Paul says we, but sometimes Paul, when he says we, he means I. And you will find that many times in these letters, you're going to read through them, Paul is not saying that you and I have received grace and apostleship. You and I aren't apostles, and we pointed this out before. An apostle had to see the Lord Jesus. Paul is not making a statement about all of us. By whom we have received grace and apostleship, Paul is referring to himself, not everyone. And there are a number of passages, and I'll get into them as we go through these teachings, where Paul, when he says we, he means I. And there are a number of places where he does that. Well, Paul says, by whom we have received grace and apostleship. By whom? Who gave Paul this grace to be an apostle, as it were? Well, the risen Lord Jesus Christ, the one who's the Son of God with power. It says, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name. Now, notice that. First of all, the first thing he was made an apostle for was, number one, for obedience to the faith. And this phrase, obedience to the faith, is used a number of times in Romans. And in Romans 6, verse 17, Paul says this. I want to show you some of the phrases. Romans 6, 17, Paul says, "But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you." See that phrase, obedience, there. It's not a bad word. Now, Romans chapter 15, verse 18. Let's read it again. Romans 15, 18, another reference to obedience in this letter to the Romans. Romans 15, 18 says, "For your obedience is come abroad unto all men." And, by the way, just before Paul says that, in verse 17, "Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. For your obedience is come abroad unto all men." Notice that. "For your obedience has come abroad to all men." The divisions and offenses come to those who've obeyed the truth. When the Apostle Paul proclaimed the great message to these Romans, and they obeyed it, what happened is they were warned that because they obeyed Paul's message, that some would come in and try to mess them up. And it's the moment you embrace Paul's message is when you become the object of the attacks of the adversary. And I want to show you when this took place. Galatians 3:1, the Apostle Paul says, "O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you, that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth crucified among you." They stopped obeying the gospel by trying to keep the law for their perfection. And so this is the object of the adversary, to get us away from this truth. Romans 16, let's see another reference to this word obedience. Paul says, verse 25, "Now to him that is a power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began, and but is now made manifest, and by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith." You see that phrase? There it is again. I want you to see one other phrase in Romans chapter 10, where we see this again. Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10, verse 16. "But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report?" To obey the gospel is to believe it. Do you hear that? This is not law obedience. This is faith obedience. And this is what we have in Paul's letters, in particular regarding his message. So we've seen here a number of references to obedience in Paul's letters. So Paul is given this grace to be an apostle, number one, for obedience to the faith. In other words, he wants people to hear this message and embrace it, to obey it. And this is the burden here, and I hope that those of you who are listening to the sound of my voice, as we study these letters, we study the Word of God as a whole, but in particular Paul's message in particular, that we obey this message. We don't just read it, but we obey it. People find this hard to believe. Hard to believe, but if you don't believe what Paul teaches us, you're not obeying God. You see that? Most people think obedience is merely just doing something with your hands, or abstaining from something. But Paul here equates obedience with believing a message. And this is a hard thing to do, because Paul's message is not like today, because it does not glorify man one bit. Well, it says, for obedience to the faith. Now notice the scope. Among all nations. Remember, we talked about it in another program in verse 3 when Paul said he was made of the seed of David according to the flesh. And we saw an instance in Matthew's Gospel, the 15th chapter, where a Canaanite woman called the Lord Jesus the Son of David and asked him to have mercy on her. And he answered her not a word, saying, "I'm not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Well, here Paul is sent to all nations. And the reason is because it's the risen and ascended Christ that commissioned Paul. Not Christ in his earthly life according to the flesh, but Christ according to the Spirit of holiness sent Paul to all nations. And so we see He's sent for three reasons. First, for obedience to the faith. I'm sorry, there are three items here. He's an apostle for, first of all, obedience to the faith. Number two, the extent of that message is among all nations. And number three, the motivation for that message is for his name. Paul went on behalf of the name of the one who sent him. And it's interesting, when you represent somebody, they are the really interested party. Now, you may have an interest because maybe you know the person that sends you. If, say, you're sent on a commission. In the case of the Apostle Paul, he knew the Lord Jesus and he loved him, so he was interested in his message. But the most important and the most interested person was the sender. And when Paul was sent by the Lord Jesus on behalf of his name to the nations, the Lord Jesus himself had a vested interest in. It was his heart yearning through Paul. It was his love being expressed through Paul's message. Paul said that in another passage of Scripture that he loves the, I think it was the Philippians, as a matter of fact, let's turn there, Philippians chapter 1, it says he longs after them all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. I believe I'm quoting it correctly in Philippians chapter 1 verse 8. Here it is, for God is my record, how greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. That's the inward affection, the bowels, intestine. I think the Greek word is the word intestine there. In the concordant literal New Testament, there's a keyword concordance at the back, and that's the word intestine. And so Paul longed them as if Christ were longing for them through Paul. And this is what's going on here. For his name, when Paul proclaims, listen, when Paul teaches us in his letters, it is as if the Lord Jesus himself is in Paul, yearning for us to teach us and to lead us on to the great grace revealed in these letters. So pay attention. Don't turn a deaf ear to the love of Christ through our apostle. Please listen and obey what's written and what God is teaching us through our apostle. And verse 6, he goes on to say, among whom are ye also the called of Jesus Christ? In other words, we, those in Rome, and those of you who are listening to my voice, we are the called of Jesus Christ. In other words, we're called to belong to him. In the same way Paul says he's a servant of Jesus Christ or a slave of his, you and I, friends, are called to belong to him. We're in his service. Verse 7, to all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice the titles, that what God calls us here. We're beloved of God. You know, when you think of your loved ones, you know, if most men out there, if you have a wallet, you'll probably have pictures of your wife and children. You have your beloved ones in there. I would imagine that most of you don't have my picture in there. Todd, Dolly, is my picture in your wallet? How about you, Dale and Dory? How about that? No, you're going to have your friend, your family in your wallet, your beloved ones, and the ones closest to you. Friends, if God had a wallet, he'd open it up and show Michael the archangel us. We're there. We're the beloved of God, called to be saints. We're saints by calling, not by works. And grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. That is God's attitude toward us today. Grace and peace. Be not afraid, dear ones. God's not mad at you. It's all grace and peace. Well, this is Dan Sheridan. Thank you for listening. My web address, crossandthrone.com. Listen to the programs there, or you can help keep the program by donating electronically there, or you can help by sending a check to Dan Sheridan at P.O. Box 421, Round Lake, Illinois, 60073. And if you have any questions, my number, 847-312-4676. See you later, beloved ones.